Well, hello, everybody, and welcome again to another wonderful program, Awaken Me To, right here in Memphis, Tennessee, on the almighty 990 KWAM. We're so glad that you have decided to join us. You're really going to enjoy our guest this week. He's come, I'd say quite a ways. He's come all the way from Jerusalem in Israel via other parts unknown, but we are so blessed to have Brother Al Nutrironi. And as a reminder, Awaken Me Too is a program of encouragement and edification to the body and really anybody listening who wants to be encouraged. It's a program about real people with real stories serving a real life God. And I am here with my lovely co-host and my Proverbs 31 woman, Mrs. Nikki Carroll. Hello, Nikki.
Hi. I also want to say hi to Al's wife, Billy, and I'm so glad she came with him from Jerusalem. I'm so excited to see both of you.
So let's get into it. Al, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
We want people to have an opportunity to get to know you. We have such a short time. Why don't we talk about where you're from, where you're raised, and how you came to the most important decision in your life to serve Jesus?
Well, I am from the great state of New Jersey. My grandparents are from Italy. They immigrated to the States. So I grew up in New Jersey, went to University of Maryland, undergraduate, then Dallas Seminary. Now, growing up, I had a very mixed background, religious background. Actually, I was a product of a lie because my mother was a Catholic, my father was a Protestant, and my father promised that he would raise the kids Catholic in order to get married, but he crossed his fingers. So if you don't know what that means I'm telling a lie. Yeah. So when my sister and I were born, we were both baptized as Presbyterians in New Jersey. So my mother still went to a Catholic church. My father didn't go to church, but he sent us to the Presbyterian church. And really, okay, I learned about Jesus and didn't know about being born again or coming to the Lord on a personal basis. But when I was in high school, I had a French teacher named Miss Bonjour. And she had actually been a missionary in France. Long story short, she taught high school French and then later on left high school, went to Columbia Bible College to teach. And my wife had her as a French teacher at college, same teacher. And she was a believer. I think she really prayed for my class. And I was one of her, you know, in her class. And then at that time, 10th grade, I had a lot of personal problems, couldn't accept myself, image problems. And I wrote an essay for my English class, very negative about the world of my philosophy. And the English teacher calls me in after class and says, Albert, you have a very negative opinion about yourself. That's not good. And so she offered me a solution. I give you an assignment. You need to get a girlfriend. So that was my assignment, to find a girlfriend. She knew that if I had somebody who cared and loved for me, I would feel better. So I found a girlfriend. And for 2 years, I mean, this was wonderful. She loved me and accepted me. We had so much fun together. And then at the end of 2 years, she dropped me. So I was left depressed. I was in my first year of college. And then I was thinking about, you know, Vietnam. I was going to maybe get drafted. So with that depression because of the broken relationship and then fear because of Vietnam, I think I was open to hear about the gospel. So I was working in New York City in 1970, actually in a law firm. I wanted to be a lawyer. So it was like a summer internship. And right next to the World Trade Center as it was being built, I often thought I was on the 20th floor. What if I end my life? I always thought my mother wouldn't like it. You know, thank God for mothers, right?
No kidding.
Yes.
So one day I was just opening up the newspaper and there was an advertisement for Billy Graham Crusade. He was going to be speaking that evening in Shea Stadium. I decided to go. Now, it's interesting. I went there and on the way there, I stopped by a bookstore And I love books, especially if they're cheap. So I found a 10-cent book. It was called Run, Baby, Run by Nikki Cruz.
Sure.
Now, I didn't know who Nikki Cruz was, but I go to the crusade. Who gives this testimony? Nikki Cruz.
Oh, same guy. That is awesome. Fantastic.
So then Dr. Graham gave the gospel, give your life to Jesus, come forward. Just something compelled me to go forward. And I went forward, and there was a counselor ready to meet me. He opened the Word of God, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I said, that's what I've been looking for. A God who sent his Son for me, who loved me so much. So I confessed my faith in Christ. I believed on him. And that was the start right there. I was born again. And then the Lord began to work in my life. I got involved at Maryland with Campus Crusade, learned how to grow in Christ. And then the Lord led me into ministry. I was studying to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a politician. I wanted to be president. And then the Lord frustrated all those plans. Charles Spurgeon said he was offered the position of prime minister. He said, no, thank you. I don't want to stoop that low. I'd rather be preaching Jesus. So I think I could have been a lawyer, but the greatest privilege is sharing Jesus. So I've got a better position, better job, better ministry, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where I am now. The Lord led us, and you want to know how we met. And of course, it's not good for man to be alone. And so how was I going to meet a girl that was committed to the Lord? And I came from a non-Christian home, and I prayed, God, give me a girl that loves Jesus, has a good, stable home, that cooks Italian like mama, that plays the piano. I wanted a pianist. Billy and I.
And why was that important? Why was a piano?
Because my great-grandparents were piano makers in Italy.
Wow.
And my grandfather, who I lived with, played the piano by ear. He was an architect, but he was like a Da Vinci man. Architect, sculpture, paintings, and music. Huh. And my mother tried to make me play, but I got so frustrated. I wanted to play outside, so I gave it up. I took up guitar because the Beatles, only because I wanted to be like the Beatles.
Of course.
So that's, I took guitar lessons. But I always loved piano, and I thought, well, if I can't play, I need a wife who can play. And so it was good. And all my daughters played piano, by the way. I wanted them to play piano. So then Billy and I met. We were summer missionaries in Rome, Italy. We were on a music team. I played the mandolin. My grandfather also played guitar, piano, and mandolin. So I had a Gibson mandolin, very nice one.
Yeah, nice.
So then she played the ukulele. So we were on the team, four of us, and we worked with a church planting team in Rome. We were street musicians, preaching and singing songs. So that's where we met and worked together.
And so what ministry were you involved with? How did you get involved, or who were you with that took you over there?
This was a mission called Greater Europe Mission, and they had the summer opportunity. I was at Dallas Seminary. I actually had a friend who had done it the year before, and Billy heard about it, and she signed up. And so we were just put sovereignly on the same team because of our musical interest and other interest.
You don't still have that Gibson mandolin?
No, I did eBay. I sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but whatever.
Because those are very sought after.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, so I hope you got a good deal on it.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay, Al. Bruce did the same thing. He had certain instruments that he also sold, so.
Yeah. Well, nice. I had a Gibson guitar. Today, it would have been like 140 years old. Remember, Billy, we were at a meeting, and it fell, and it broke the arm, so it
broke the
became
neck.
Useless. The neck.
Neck,
yeah.
Arm, yeah, neck. Shoulder, whatever. I knew what you mean. It broke.
Yeah, it broke. Yeah. So that was, it would have been a nice instrument to sell.
Yeah.
I mean, old Gibson, 1900.
Oh, yeah.
I learned guitar on it because my grandfather had that, and I learned my guitar in there. And I did try to play in a group too, a rock group, you know, imitating the Beatles. We didn't go far. So we worked together. I liked her. And the first thing that she said to me, I want to become a missionary. I never met a girl like that. First thing she says, I want to be a missionary. Hmm. Normally, Christian girls don't say that. And I had dated girls in the past. And if I even mentioned I want to be a missionary, that would be the last date I'd have. I didn't want to leave my home, but I'm impressed with this girl. She's willing to be a missionary. And not that I was totally committed to missions. I wanted to go in the ministry. I was very impressed with that. And I liked her. And I told the team leader that I was sort of like had feelings. And he said, well, this is a summer of ministry, not romance. So seek first the kingdom. Okay, so I gave it up. Interestingly, on the way back, we're next to each other.
Was that by design or was that an accident?
It sort of happened that way, right? I mean, that was my seat and that was her seat, right?
Really?
They assigned
to be assigned seats.
Sounds like God's
design. That's
how
we were talking with the whole team, but we happened to be next to each other. And I said, we talked about the summer and said, well, let's share some prayer requests. I don't know who started. Maybe I started. Well, you can pray for me. I want a wife. Okay? Okay. And Billy, what would you like? I like a husband. So we started. Then we said goodbye. Now, I put her on a list with around 10 girls and that I knew that I wanted them to have their husbands. I don't know if Billy had even continued to pray, but it's okay. But then 3 years later,
Wait, I have to stop you here.
Yeah, go.
So you're praying for a wife.
Yes.
You already have feelings for this woman.
Yeah.
You get on a plane. You just happen to be assigned seats next to each other.
Yes.
And you pray out loud that you're looking for a wife. She prays that she's looking for a husband.
Right.
Bro, it sounds to me like the Lord was like was like slapping you upside the head here.
Yeah, but you were clueless.
But, you know, it's funny. At that point, I felt we were just friends, yeah. You know, and
well, it's best
she was a sister.
Right?
I'd already concluded she wasn't interested. So, okay.
Now, wait a minute. Was that true? I mean, what?
Well, she probably was interested, but she's a Southern girl. They don't show their emotions too much, or they're coy, a good expression, coy. So I didn't get the impression she was really falling in love with me.
Okay.
So I just didn't get the feeling. Because she liked to be a little more, you know, what's the phrase? Coy.
Okay, or just a little bit more guarded.
Yeah,
and,
a little more guarded, yeah. And, I'm Italian, I'm very expressive, and I'll tell it like
this. But you sure didn't express your feelings if you had any.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You had all
right.
These girls on a list. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So it ended up, I graduated seminary, and then the Lord really got hold of my life to go to the mission field after Luis Palau spoke at the seminary about committing your life to go overseas and seek first the kingdom. So I did that. And somebody said to me, well, Al, I'm going to give you an application. I said, well, listen, I really would like to be married before I make a formal process. He said, well, sometimes you got to take a step of faith. Just do it. Okay, so I took it. I went to my room. Here's the application, the Bible, right there. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Okay, Lord, I'm going. I filled it out and then was accepted and then was heading toward the mission field. Now, it so happened that I was getting ordained by my church before I went out. And I gave out invitations to a lot of people. Billy got one as a friend. It was kind of a general, right, invitation. I hadn't heard from her in 3 years. So then she writes back and said, Al, you're being ordained, but what are you going to do? And right when I got her letter, I thought, here, I'm hearing from Billy. I remember Billy wanted to be a missionary. And I remember she liked Italy. And here I am. I'm appointed as a missionary to Italy.
Yeah, and she asked you to pray for her husband, too.
Yeah. And I remember that. So I said, wow, this could be the one. I told my mother, this might be the one. So I said, what do you do? Step of faith. I have to go down and check it out. So I go down there, see her. I got sick the whole weekend, but it's all right. I liked her parents. Her parents liked me. I flew her up to meet
Well, now, wait a minute. How did you meet her parents?
I went down to see her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from New Jersey.
I got you.
It was that Thanksgiving. I think that's why I got sick. But it was a long trip, 12-hour drive to North Carolina. And then her parents were nice Christian home. Her parents were missionaries in Quito, Ecuador, very nice Southern people. And so then I flew her up to meet my folks, you know, because I thought, this is looking good here. You know, I got to get mom's approval. And the first thing she said, she's a thin one. But she fed her a nice lasagna meal. And then I took her to a delicatessen. I took her, we went out, we went to a church. And then I, you know, I'm a fast worker. I said, this could be it. So I then, make a long story short, I did propose. You know?
Wow. So are you saying this
like
was
a month
first...
after I visited her, I proposed.
Okay.
Right, yeah, so... but we had known each other. But her father had prayed that she would meet her husband that summer that we met.
Wow,
in
that's
1975.
Incredible.
And then he gave testimony, because when I went down there at their Wednesday service, he said, I praise God that God has answered a prayer of mine that was unspoken. And Billy knew that was because I had come down and I was probably the answer to his prayer.
That is a beautiful story.
Yeah. So we left. God worked in. She got accepted. Then we left for Italy. It was 1 year in the States. And then in September of 1980, we flew to Italy to start our work.
You know, Al, that is a story of waiting on the Lord and a story of true faith.
Yeah.
And I've also got to ask you, wouldn't you say that when you went to Billy Graham's and you saw Nikki Cruz that night, and you just bought that book, Run, Baby, Run. I don't want to pass this up. You just bought that book that day. That book is still prevalent for today. If someone picked it up to read it, that book is still available, and that everyone who might be listening to your testimony right now might want to read it if they are hungry for something like you are talking about.
Right.
To find out who Jesus is.
It's a powerful message in that book.
It is so powerful.
Transformation of this Puerto Rican gang leader.
Yes.
You know? And
yes.
So,
God really led you on it.
Yes, it was all step-by-step providential.
Al, when you were a new Christian, did you have a group of men that were discipling you?
I want to give credit to the Holy Spirit because, nobody invited me to the Billy Graham Crusade. I saw the advertisement went. Now, the counselor, they would give you some literature from Billy Graham Crusade, so I read that, and then direct you to a church, but they change your policy now. They pick the churches that they want to follow up. But I went back and I said, I need to find a church, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know about Baptists. Baptists were people down south. In New Jersey, we had Jews, Catholics, and Presbyterians, and some Lutherans. But I knew I needed a church that had to do with Billy Graham, for some reason, evangelist. Mm-hmm. So I looked in the phone book, Evangelical Free Church, and then Evangel Baptist Church. So I called Evangelical Free. No one answered. Evangel, oh, yes, come to our church. So I went there, 5 minutes from my home, Evangel Baptist Church. And the pastor was a Dallas grad. And so that became sort of a home church. And then, interestingly enough, that was the summer. But I had to go back to school, Maryland, you know, to finish up. And I think the counselor mentioned something about campus crusade. So here's the providence of God again. So I get saved June 25th. And I'm now hitchhiking with a friend, Indian friend, around Massachusetts in that summer. And hitchhiking and sleeping in, you know, abandoned buildings and things like that. But interesting enough, we were in Boston Commons. A guy was preaching about Jesus and God provided the places to stay. And then we were in Hyannisport and we met this girl at a hamburger stand. And she invited us to a campfire that night. And so we went to the campfire. It was a campus crusade project.
Wow.
Right there. And then it was amazing.
That's
crazy. Then we were talking, And I said, I went to Maryland. Oh, you got to meet Gary Fredericks at Maryland. He's the campus director. I said, okay. So I got his name. And then I went back to school, and they have, you know, the, what do they call that? They sign up for clubs and things like that at the beginning. So I'm going to, I see Campus Crusade. I said, I went up, I said, listen, I got a name, Gary Fredericks. And the guy said, that's me. So praise the Lord. So I got into Campus Crusade, and they really discipled me. Tom Daxon, I'll never forget him. He was on staff. He was from Oklahoma. He had he just spent time with me. We had a small group. They call them action groups. Then I learned how to witness. And I want to tell you a story about witnessing I learned from Tom. That's amazing. And Tom was, so he called me up all the time. And he wanted to be a bold witness. So we had the anti-war demonstrations at Maryland. And so I was, he said, speak for Jesus. So they had the open mic. So I was about ready. I got in line to speak about Jesus. And I was about ready to get on to speak. Thousands of people. All of a sudden, right next to me, right here, was Jane Fonda.
Really?
Yeah. So I was about ready to get up. They pushed me out of the way, pushed Jane Fonda up. And she gave her anti-war spout. So that, wow, that was an interesting experience, you know. Yeah. Jane, you could have heard the word of God.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, which yeah, she probably did at one point.
At one point, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just fascinating to think of how the Lord was always working upstream in your life and leading you. He had his hand on you big time.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping up this first episode, there's going to be two. It just blows me away to see how faithful God is and how people who are called and chosen are led and directed by the Holy Spirit.
I was thinking the same thing. If we truly want to know Him, and I did, Bruce did, you did, Billy did, and those of us that really want to know Him, He leads us like that, and the strangest, most incredible things happen in our lives like that.
Amen.
It's incredible what's happened to you, Al. Mm-hmm. What a testimony.
Well, Al, thank you so much. We've got so much more to talk about. We're just priming the pump here. This is only episode one. We're going to talk about where the Lord led you from your mission field experiences with you and your beloved Billy, how you got to Israel, how you got to be pastoring a church over there, how you got to be working with Youth for Christ International, all these wonderful tributaries that God has led you in. And we'll do that next episode, next week. I want to reiterate the truth that if anyone is listening right now and you're empty and you're looking for peace and purpose and joy and direction and an assignment for the rest of your life and you're wondering why you were put here and what life means, it's as easy as calling upon the name of Jesus, the only name by which any of us can be saved. We encourage you to do that today. The Bible says no man comes to the Father but through the Son. You have to know Jesus to encounter the true living God. If you'd like to comment, if you have some needs, if you have some suggestions, but more than anything, if you are hungering to know the God that leads us and guides us and directs us and saves us and gives us appointments in life to bring us joy and to fulfill His purpose for us, I want you to feel free to reach out to JesusHelps.me. That's JesusHelps.me. And you can write us at info@JesusHelps.me. It's on the website. Or if you'd like to call somebody at 855-775-3787. We're an all-volunteer army, so we can't answer the phone live when you call. I promise we check the messages, we check the emails. And if anybody has any questions, needs, prayer requests, or you... So until next week, I want to thank Nikki. I want to thank you for joining us on Awaken Me Too. And remember, if you need any hope in Christ Jesus, there is always hope. As long as Jesus lives, there is hope. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.